Good morning and welcome to Citizens September 24th, 2025 Audit Committee meeting that is publicly noticed in the Florida Administrative Register to convene at 8:30 and will be recorded with transcribed minutes available on our website. For those attending today's meeting through the public link, you are automatically in listen-only mode with presentations appearing in the webinar. Chair Shelton, we have no speaker requests for today's meeting. Panelists, thank you for identifying yourself prior to addressing the committee. May I proceed with roll call?
Yes.
Chair Shelton?
Present.
Governor Spotswood? Board Chair Baruff? Chair Shelton, you have a quorum.
Thank you, Barbara. First item of business this morning is approval of the minutes from the June 25th Audit Committee meeting. May I have approval for that? A motion, please. Is there a second? Motion passes. Minutes are approved. Mr. Joe Martins from the Office of the Internal Auditor, you're recognized to give us your brief report this morning.
Morning, Mr. Chairman and Governors. Today, I'll cover what we completed the quarter, the audit observations and relevant departmental performance metrics, the work already in motion for next quarter, and for consideration, the plan we have queued up for the first quarter next year. Next slide, please. One more, please, Bonnie.
They're working, a little technical difficulty. I see it back there in the back. Yeah, there you go.
I'll continue in the meantime. Thank you. This quarter, we closed five engagements: the claims IA invoice processing, enterprise risk management, print mail, purchasing card advisory, and a third-party risk management system and organization controls process review. Each one tightened controls that would affect operational cost, data protection, and vendor discipline. Quick highlights include, for the claims IA invoicing processes, two medium observations were agreed with management, both aiming at tightening the end-to-end approval and monitoring process. For the third-party management SOC review, there's one medium observation which we're tracking with the vendor management team, and they're working on that diligently. For the print mail, we validated that new invoicing and monitoring controls are preventing billing variances as they designed the processes. And for the enterprise risk management, we evaluated the ARM framework's design and effectiveness to confirm that it supports risk-informed decisions and regulatory expectations throughout the organization. Ernst & Young performed a detailed review on behalf of the internal audit function for this. Looking ahead, in progress for Q4 this year, we have the software asset management escheatment audit, backup recovery of critical applications, corporate insurance coverage, CBIS, segregation of duties audit, agency compliance, personalized underwriting, and an artificial intelligence advisory. These engagements touch hygiene, technical hygiene, financial stewardship, resilience, governance, responsible use of AI, and align with our current risk profile. For Q1 2026, planned engagement include IT general controls, premium invoicing, refunds, suspense accounts, ethics, BPO vendors, and claims and vendor management. These choices have been made to deepen assurance on foundational IT, strengthen customer-facing processes, and reinforce third-party performance where scale matters. Next slide, please. Our plan is rolling and risk-based, keeping our attention on the organization's top risks as they evolve. Internal audit realigns its focus quarterly to ensure that our work aligns with the organization's changing view of risk. This page references the strategic risks defined by the executive leadership team with the support of the enterprise risk function, and where the work of the internal audit touches focus areas within the risk mitigation efforts. Next slide, please. Our performance for the moment, we focus on three simple metrics in our performance. Plan completion at 100% for the quarter, issue closure at 100% within agreed timelines, and productivity. The target is 80% on audit work. We are currently at 78% year to date, which is mainly driven by required training and is expected to normalize during the rest of the year. The bottom line is that delivery is on track, remediation is timely, and capacity is appropriately focused. Next slide, please. As mentioned, there are no high impact findings this period. The open by engagement chart shows where items sit for visibility. The point is that there is sufficient traction and management ensures sufficient focus and timely closure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That completes my report, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Martins. Committee members, the governors, any questions on the audit committee report from Joe? The thing to want to say and point out is that when Joe and I meet, and we at least quarterly, we go through his plan, here's what's being completed, what's in progress. The most important thing, I think, of the whole audit committee process is the cooperation and the support from management. There's no been confrontations or significant pushback on any issues done, uncovered, seen by Joe and his team. So I think that's good marks for both sides. So thank you, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
Ms. Montero, next up this morning for a brief financial overview.
Good morning. For your reference, the material I'll be covering are the second quarter 2025 results in operations and financial position, which provides an overview of Citizens' unaudited financial position, including cash flows, invested assets, and surplus, as well as the operational results for the quarter ending June 30th, 2025. The document that follows it is the commentary, and that's the document that I'll be discussing. At June 30th, 2025, cash and invested assets totaled $9.85 billion, or approximately $191 million less than it did at December 31st, 2024, as a result of net cash flows used in operations of approximately the same amount. Surplus at June 30th was $4.92 billion, reflecting an increase of approximately $736 million in comparison to December 31st. The increase in surplus was driven by net income from the first half of 2025 of approximately the same amount. Direct written premium in the first half of the 2025 was $1.5 billion, or approximately $1.1 billion less premium than was written in the same period a year prior. The number of new policies written for the first 6 months decreased to 109,000, in comparison to the 214,000 new policies written during the same period last year. In addition to the renewal rate of 84%, it reflects an increase of 2% compared to the renewal rate last year. Premiums ceded through depopulation during the first half of 25 were $403.6 million, which is $96.7 million more than the premium ceded during the first period, period of 2024. Premiums ceded for private reinsurance and for the coverage in the CAP fund totaled $791.6 million, which is a decrease of $188.9 million. A decrease in reinsured exposure through the CAP fund was partially offset by an increase in reinsured exposure through private reinsurance, driving the year-over-year reduction in premium ceded. At June 30th, there were 8 named storms that had significant losses and LAE reserving outstanding. From prior accident years, the remain outstanding liabilities for Hurricanes Irma for 2017, Tropical Storm Ada for 2020, Hurricanes Ian and Nicole for 2022, Hurricane Idalia for 2023, and Hurricanes Debbie, Helene, and Milton for 2024. For each of these storms, there have been no changes to the ultimate losses in LAE from December 31st, 2024. Continuing the trend from the past few years, the non-catastrophe loss in LAE ratio continues to show improvement. The primary contribution to the improvements is due to the lower litigation rate related to the non-CAT claims. Administrative expenses incurred during the first half of 2025 of $91.7 million were $2.7 million less than during the same period in 2024 and $14.9 million less than budget. Citizens' expense ratio for the period ending June 30th was 18.2%, marking a 3.7% increase from the same period a year prior and a 2.2% increase compared to budget. Through June 30th, total investment income was $175.9 million, or $3.2 million more than the same period last year, while the average invested assets decreased $391.9 million. Included in the 25 investment income is $10.1 million related to the defeasance of the 2015 A-1 bonds payable that was recorded as investment income in 2025. Excluding the impact of that transaction, net investment income decreased $5.8 million for the first half of 25 compared to the first half of 24. This decrease is largely the result of reduction in investment assets, along with the reduction in market rates and money market funds and short-term securities. I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have, but if not, that concludes my report.
Very good report. I think one of the things is I picked up on it as you're going through there, and I think it's important to note that one, the decrease in litigation expense due to non-CAT items, that's very significant. And we all know, we've all seen, and that is attributable to our process of going through DOA, which we all read in the paper. We're going to hear more about it later. It's a great process. It's working. It's the way it should be. And hopefully we can find, is somebody changing like the volume on this thing, or is it like me just echoing in my own ear? But it's a great process, and let's hope that the next step in the legal system will put us back on track with that. With that, fellow committee members or other governors, with other governors, would I have any questions? Go ahead, Mr. Lidecker.
Thank you. Thank you for the report, and it's a good news report. You know, it seems like I was sitting here for really 1 or 2 years where it was extremely painful to listen to a fund, in this case, a company that was just growing by leaps and bounds at the ultimate expense of taxpayers. And so I think the job that has been done by the team at Citizens and the support of the legislature and the regulating bodies has just been extraordinary. So it's really an exciting time. Would you mind giving us a little bit of your own color, your own narration on how, notwithstanding the fact that the news is good, but we predicted a lot of the positive trends that you've reported on in terms of DPOP. We predicted that, particularly as relates to tort reform. Do you have any color or narration around expectations, where we are today versus this time last year, and what your expectations were for 2025? Any commentary? We're doing as well as we expected to be doing. We could do even better if we were thinking about the following, or holy mackerel.
Sure. I can tell you that our forecast from July through August changed on DPOP. We increased our depopulation by more than 100,000 for the forecast to the end of the year, due to the interest that we're, not only the interest that we're finding in companies that are taking more policies. We didn't think we'd reach the number. Last year was the all-time highest, 477,78,000 policies were depopped, and we're forecasting over 460,000 for this year. And that has, each time we have a forecasting meeting, that number seems to grow. And a lot of it has to do with the rule that says if you are given a takeout offer that's within 20% of Citizens premium, and you're not eligible to stay with Citizens, we can't make you go to that company, but your agent would have to work it and find place you somewhere else. We'll set you up for non-renewal. So we're finding a lot of positive DPOP happening because the offers are being made and they don't have a choice. They can't stay. So that's been very helpful in, as we predict the numbers. We're predicting almost 190,000 policies. And I'm taking, Jeremy's going to talk about this in X-ray, but about 190,000 policies for October, and then another 38 and 15 for the rest of the year. So the numbers, I think this year were, last year was great. It was a jump start. And this year I thought we'd kind of wind down. So it's good news that we're seem to be doing just as well as we were last year.
This, even though this is not your bailiwick and you're reporting on the numbers, but the CFO has a global perspective and a sense, and That's why I asked, but we can save the same question for Tim or Jeremy or something. No, but if you have any additional color, this would be a great time for you to make predictions as to what you see for 2026.
hopefully we get so small that, you know, we're at our true residual market and we can stay there for a while.
Do you have any predictions on the weather, just to add on to the other requests there? They might want to be there. So lots of unknown variables there, what we do, but good report. Mr. Chairman, Governor Spotswood, any questions? Go ahead, Governor.
So I was planning to save this for our next committee or the one after, but since we're talking about it, is there something going on the private side, on the companies that are taking out policies that's incenting them or causing them to take them out sooner than you had forecast? And are there incentives that we can build in? And for instance, the question I would ask also is, what's the average term remaining on the policies that have been taken out?
Well, I'll start with that. The average term is there's a blackout period. So there's at least 3 to 9 months renewal is that we don't have them taken out if they're going to renew within the next 3 months. So that's a blackout. So it's an average between renewing after the 3 months to the 12. So it's about a 9 month range that they in there all
at least it. 3 months and maybe 9 months on the policies that have been taken out.
Right. And then as for the reason, so there's a lot of startup companies that have had new companies, and the best way to get business when you're brand new is to take a chunk from Citizens. That's in a lot of the business plans that they write. So I'm sure that that has a lot to do with it. How they pick and choose, I think we get kind of a run on the bank in October, November, December, because everybody's kind of stayed back and not done anything over the hurricane season because of reinsurance and etc. And so then I think they're trying to race to get the best policies first, which is why I think October is always so large, or has been at least the last couple of years. So, but how they pick and choose, it all depends on their business plan. You know, some choose to ride along the coast, and especially with the rates getting better, especially in like the Miami-Dade area, that's starting to open up. We're seeing our market share, and I'm sure Tim will probably mention this, our market share in Miami-Dade is going down. It used to be where most of our business we wrote was in Miami-Dade, and we're not seeing that. There are other companies that are voluntarily writing there because the litigation, the tort reforms, and the rates are coming down. So it's all relative to what that company's taste is and what they're looking for.
So certainly for them, if they pick and choose wisely, as you say, it benefits them to take them out earlier because they have more term left and more premium to gain. And this is something I'll just pose to think about. Is there some incentive we can build in for companies to take out policies earlier in the season rather than later?
So the issue is
transfer more risk to them from us.
Right. And the issue is reinsurance. They all have a budget of how much they can spend and how much exposure that they want to have during that period of time. And we've had not last year, the year before, and this year we had some depop activity in August, which was rare. The companies that participated obviously had a surplus of reinsurance that they could afford to increase their exposure to take that on. But a lot of companies, they've locked in their private reinsurance. The way that the cat fund works, whoever has that policy on June 30th gets the cat fund exposure. So if they do a depop in July or August or September and there's a storm, Citizens still gets the reinsurance from the cat fund on those policies because we owned it on June 30th. So they lose that incentive to have that coverage, and then they also have to have enough private coverage, or the offices are going to let them do any takeouts after June 30th.
But I think part of the incentive that you're talking about is, and I don't know if this works, because notwithstanding the point you just made on the timing of the reinsurance marketplace, but would there be a incentive provided by Citizens to figure all of that out earlier in the year to an extra fee or an extra dollar amount that a takeout company would receive on a per policy basis that they would figure that out. And as you're asking for like a specific incentive within our, within control of what we can do versus market forces.
And we've done that in the past under bonus programs and things like that, where they have to take out the policies, they have to keep them for 3 years or a set number of years, and they have to have Me Too filings and not increase our rates and things like that. And then at the end of 3 years, they would, we would give a bonus to them. I know some of that is by statute that allows us to do it, but it's pretty narrow. I think it's maximum about $100 a policy like that, but that doesn't help them on the front end. That program that we have statutory, that's a program that helps you at the back end. It's like an award for keeping the policy, but the incentive on taking it is something that we could definitely get together and, you know, brainstorm that and what would be reasonable to do. Right now, I don't think there's anything right now that we could do. I think it's still so popular that they're going to take it anyways right now. I think that's something definitely as we slow down to look at as the Depop slows down.
So just to throw a thought or an example out there, for instance, if you took it earlier in the season, you know, you get the full premiums going forward. But if you take it later in the season, maybe you get a lesser amount of the premiums going forward. So, you know, right. To create some kind of financial incentive that's obvious to
right.
encourage and the private market to take them out sooner than later.
Because currently part of their issue is also, would we give them the unearned premium? It's unearned premium for them as well. It's not revenue. It's a liability. They have to earn it out before they can use it to spend reinsurance, to buy reinsurance. So they have to get the policies. That's why they like to do it in October. And they can earn that out up through June to buy reinsurance. So that's another part of it. The money we give them is all considered unearned.
Good question and answer. Any other questions from any committee members, governors? Thank you, Ms. Montero.
Thank you.
Brian Newman are next for some information on some insurance renewals. You're recognized.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you. I have two items for you. The first is renewal of our D&O policy. We have a premium decrease this year, almost a little over 2%. Premium of $265,585, and also our cyber insurance policy. That's even better news. We are recommending going with AIG for to continue that coverage for us, and that's a 20% reduction in annual premium for $220,000. It's essentially the same coverage as we had last year for both. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer that, but we're asking you to approve both of those.
That was a question that we had was, or I had in the discussion, is that a significant reduction on the cyber policy, and was there any changes in the policy form or underlying conditions that made it so much more expensive? And the answer is no. It's essentially the same form.
I think it's a recognition of two things. Governor Shelton, first, I think the market's improving in that space. And also, I think it's a recognition of some enhancements we've made in our cybersecurity unit and program here at Citizens.
And what's another, the program we were on before, was it a multi-year program? It wasn't a single year renewal on the cyber?
I believe it was a single year.
Then my mistake, I'm thinking of something else.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
That's all I have.
Any questions for Brian from the committee? Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, thank you.
Last, Mark. Is Mark presenting this morning? Or am I mistaken in looking at my, these notes? So for informational purposes only, the Office of Inspector General report has been provided. So with that, are there any other questions or comments from the governors here? With that, Mr. Chairman, we are adjourned. The audit committee, we are complete.